Okay, so today is a very special day in terms of our limud, because we just did a blot today. We just skipped the entire pretty much. Okay? So we're rolling through. That's how we cover a lot of ground. So we're going to pick up, now that we're on the top of Daf Hey of an Aleph. No one ever accuses us of learning too slow. So comes the Gemara and is trying really, really hard to figure out the Machlekes Rav and Rava, to try to fine-tune this Machlekes to every possible lens. And finally, the Gemara quotes at the end of the very bottom of the Dalam of the Bays, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Tanana, maybe get me to say, I'm in the Yachalam Farnecha Farnechtam. In the Eishla of Avis Kabachaisman. If a person brings a get me to say, and he cannot save a Farnecha Farnechtam, so what do you do? What do you do? There's no choice. So you have to rely on the next best thing, called the Kiyam Shtaros, which is the mice that we do in Eretz Yisrael anyway. So he asks the Gemara, what does the case mean? What's the case? If it's referring to someone who's a cheirish person who can't speak and can't hear, that's why he can't say the words. Can a cheirish be a shaliach in the first place? Forget about the derabbanan dika problem. What happened to the derais dika problem? He's a lavar shlichus. But the hakok shem loves to get chutz cheirish at the katan. So obviously that's not what the Mishnah is referring to. So Gemara said, "Remember Rav Yosef, how come my skin can't shenas look shupikeach?" What a wild case that what the Mishnah is referring to is that he gave her the get already. He was a kosher shliach. He gave her the get, and then within the excitement of the moment, all of a sudden he lost all his abilities to hear and to speak. He became a cheirish. So that's what the Mishnah says. Okay, well, the shliach said the get was okay, and now we have a problem. Why did the Mishnah give such a crazy meshugana case? So the point of the Mishnah was not to get into the intricacies of who is a kosher shlich, who's not a kosher shlich. That's the Mishnah in the end of Sechabrek. That was the purpose. The highlight, the purpose of the Mishnah was to say that in a situation where b'farnecha b'farnechtam didn't happen, sometimes there's another resolution. Sometimes there's a backup. There's plan B. There's a fallback plan of kiyum shtaros. It's kind of a chayisba. So the Mishnah wasn't really interested in working out all the details and those scenarios and telling you what. So the Mishnah just talked in very, very vague terms. If and when you have such a case where you can't say b'farnechtam, this is what you do. So then the Mishnah left it up to the Amoraim to figure out what's the case. So the Tanaim had something in mind. So Rabbi Yosef figured out that obviously the Tanaim must have had this strange scenario in place. But again, the purpose of the Mishnah was not to talk about this crazy Mishnah in the case. The purpose of the Mishnah was just to highlight the din that there is a plan B in terms of a Farnecha Farnechtam. But the problem is, what is plan A? Why does plan B work? How does plan B solve the problems? So, L'Rabba Nichla Rabba Kasha. According to Rav, who says that the whole necessity of Farnecha Farnechtam in the first place was only Alts Eidim Tzum Kaimo, so then I understand that. It is a Kula to enable you to avoid having to get Kiyum Shtaros. If you can't do it, then you got to go down the hard route of Kiyum Shtaros. But according to Rav, there's a whole other problem. According to Rav, there's a problem of Lishma. So what? How does Kiyum Shtaros solve the Lishma problem? Now it's talking about a case in history where it's there's no Lishma anymore. The Dayanim already know. Well, the Dayanim became smart. So if that's the case, even if the person can say before Nechta, why does he have to say it? So, wow, the Gemara worked so hard to try to stick it as a wild case, to walk that fine line between it's the Acha Shalomdu, it's the Gemara Shalom Shchicha, Logos Rabbanon. That's the case of the Mishnah. Ad Kan Debriya Gemara. This is a very, very innocent Tosis on the top of Daf Hei Amud Aleph. It's a 1.5 liner Tosis. The Tosis writes that this is the case. Imagine the case. This is the case that the Tanoim were talking about. The Shaliach comes, he's a perfectly healthy guy. He gives the get, and he becomes all of a sudden stricken on the spot with a can't speak, can't hear. All of a sudden, he suffers this terrible debilitating condition. He becomes a cheirish. If you're already looking for a case, I'll give you a simple case. says Taisus, an Elaim. What's that Elaim? An Elaim can't speak. So he can't say Mefanechem. So how does that solve the problem? A Cheresh also can't speak. Now here's the difference. A Cheresh can never have been a Shaliach. Because not only can a Cheresh not speak, he cannot hear either. And the combination of not being able to hear and not being able to speak makes you into a Lav Bar Das. If you're a Lav Bar Das, then you're not Lav Bar Shlichas HaKol Terkula. But if you're simply an Elim is a 1,000% Bar Das. An Elim is Chayav, an Alam Itzatayr, Alam Diniyat Tayr, is a full-fledged Bar Das, 1,000%. How's it going to be Yetzay, Kriyashman, and Kiddush, and Tzibut Tzibut Tzibut, not being able to speak? So they have to figure out, if Lun Shem Esayir is to figure out that one. But Shemek Oren is going to work for him, not for now. But in terms of Bar Das, Shlichus is a Karsha Shliach. He's a perfect case. I gave the get to an Elim. The Elim comes, he delivers the get. He's a Karsha Shliach. Now comes time, Bezin asks him, so tell us a little bit about this get. Well, let's hear it. Here's the line. So he's a nasal get in Yachalit, the light before the point after. So I'll say, never in the Mishnah. He's kind of a chaisnuf. Wouldn't that have been a more normal case? But Taisa says, I got another case. Taisa says, Lo Rok seems a get. He probably didn't see the seems a get. He's a kosher shliach. When it comes time for his cue, the basin hands him the card and says, okay, you know, this is your line. You've been waiting. Before Nech, before Nechdom. I says, I can't say it. Why not? Because it's not true. I would never tell a lie. Midvasheka tirfak. Marvelous minos machine. I would never say something not true. So those are such good cases. But the Mishnah gives you a Dreza Chakon, the Rav Yosef, Dreja Kof, was saying, Hacha Maskin, and he was a Pekech, he became a Chayr. Nonsense. These are two simple, straightforward cases. Says Taisus, you're right. Our cases are taka better than Chalas cases. We're smarter than Rav Yosef. So why did Rav Yosef go down our route? Says Taisus, Yosef was very, very metaic in grammar, in diktuk. Words, the text. What does the text of the Mishnah say? The Eino Yachol Lohimim Fanech Fanechem. He cannot say Fanech Fanechem. What is that mashmos? It's a little bit of an extra, little slight superfluous phrase. The Eino Yachol. If the point of the Mishnah was simply to tell you that if you goofed up plan A, we have plan B for you, what should the Mishnah, what's the simplest way of saying it? Habeas again, v'lo omla b'fanech b'fanechdam, yiskei b'chaisvot. That's what l'chor the Mishnah should have said. It's not the Eino Yachol Eima. Eino Yachol, says Taisus, has a little bit of a shtickle connotation. What's the shtickle connotation? Eino Yachol, right now Eino Yachol. An emergency happened. Lightning just struck. Something happened. Some debilitating event just occurred. That's now, here and now, this puts up and preventing you from saying Fanech Fanech. That phrase, Eino Yachol, Rav Yosef saw in that Meshmos HaTanoim, that nuance, that text of the Tanoim, the remez for Hishtabot Torah. The din, the oilam, the din would be true for Nilim also. And the din would be true for the fellow who didn't see the Ksivs again. La Halacha, Taisa says, our cases are just as good, if not better, than Rav Yosef's. But Rav Yosef is more correct in grammar, more correct in the style of the sentence, in the text of the Mishnah. That's where Rav Yosef created this wild scenario, because he saw the rumors in Lashon HaMishnah. Okay, Ad Kan Tavir Taisus. You know, most people would read this Taisus and say, well, you know, okay. It's one of those Taisus, like, you know, a little style, a little words, a little literary, you know. We wouldn't put this on. If we were listing off, you know, 20 most important Taisus in the first five lines, we probably would have put it on the list, right? Most of us. We would spend the time on the Ziyah, we'd spend, Taninans, you know, Tubin and Rerit Yisrael, those are the types that we like. You know, Erech and Bisurit, this is, come on, it's not for us. But they say, look at this Taisus, it's a Gevalt Yechidish. You know what the Gevalt Yechidish is? Taisus just told us a piece of information about a very, very important, seemingly trivial detail, not all trivial, about the saying or not saying of the Fanechdom. Taisus just said there are two people who cannot testify Fanechdom. One of them was the guy who didn't see the Ksiva. I don't need to Taisus that, that's pretty obvious. He can't testify what he didn't see. But Taisus said somebody else. There's another fellow on the list of ineligible to recite Fanechdom, and he's called the Elaim. Why can't he say Fanechdom? So Jeremy said, why can't he say it? Because he can't talk. Come on. That's silly enough. Why can't he what? Is that right? He's Bardas. He can be my TV in Kishayf. Of course, I'm getting a little tougher, but Kishayf be Yisimi. He's Chayv and Amitz Tateir. He's Bardas. He can be Shalich. If we'd be in Eretz Yisrael, we would have zero hesitation of being the Shalich. He's a 1,000% Bardas. So why can't he just simply write to us? What's the answer? Oh. I didn't tell you the evidence yesterday. I told you that we're done with Storrs. I said Storrs is a thing of the past. Not quite. No? You can't write that in this. Pimum Psalm, right? Isn't that the obvious answer to this question? It's like, well, Pimum Psalm. So comes Tysus in this 1.5 line of Tysus. So Tysus is dragging us across the textual and grammatical and syntax and formats and all that stuff that doesn't get us too excited. And linked in between the lines, this Tysus just told us about, Tysus just said, that the Eidus of the Fardech and Fardechtam is subject to the psul of Mipiem along with P. Savam. So Tysus just said. And they're probably wondering, why am I making such a fuss out of this?
How's he saying it's a problem? That doesn't he say my answer would work and it would be kosher?
No. Tosafos said that below by the Maimon, the Gemara didn't want to give this Okimta because the nuance of the Mishnah didn't lend itself to this Okimta. But the din is true. Then Elam Tachan cannot say. So I'm asking, why not let him write it? The answer is that from the Tosafos that writing doesn't work. Now, you would probably, at 15 minutes into the Shia, you probably think, what would be a problem so far? So we learned a little bit about sentence structure. And we remember Daik from Tysus that there's a different feel of each other. Whoop-de-doo. And we had a nice meeting before. But I mean, and we celebrate a few anniversaries. I mean, like Maynain, what did we accomplish so far today? And we start here on time almost. So my honey on the sentences. So the wheels have to turn. Wait, that's so simple. You know. This Eidus of a Farinech of Farinechtam, this is not quite Eidus to kill somebody. It's not quite Eidus like Simam. It's not quite Eidus to get in vision. I mean, it's getting all right, but this is a very, very, very watered down standard for this Eidus. Give me the Raya Brewer Shem La Tshuva. We have. Why do we take such a lackadaisical approach? Very lenient. We just spoke this past Friday night of a shul. It's Friday nights now. We have an actual Friday night learning, so we're talking about the different topics that come to mind about Judaism and beyond. So whatever I want to talk about. So whatever people ask me to talk about. So this Friday night, we spoke about the roles of chumras in our lives. We said so. The shul, when they advertise things in shul, so they have to. Part of a topic is not just the same thing to talk about. You have to like touch up a little bit. So I said I'm talking about chumras, and then I noticed on the announcement of the shul, it said chumras, praiseworthy, pointless, or problematic. 3 P's, that was the topic. So we talk about whether we should be machmir, what's the bottom line, this kind of stuff. So here, we take a very, very lenient attitude. We are very progressive. Who says you cannot accuse us of being we're not fundamental, we're not right wing, we're not black hat, we're not yeshivish. And at what age, go, gosh, man, what do you mean to aid them for? The Torah says to aid them. Ah, come on, Rabbi, come on. That was our case, that was the old days. What age is good enough for us? Why do we take this lackadaisical approach towards Fardech? What's the answer? What did the Gemara tell us back in the Gimel? Because Minat Torah, this whole thing is a big joke anyway. Minat Torah, Rosh Hashanah never heard of this story. Why? Because what are you afraid of? Minat Torah. What are you afraid of? Hey, David, come on. What are you afraid of? I'll play with you. You're afraid it's not Lishma? Chara Mahatas. I never heard of Rove? Come on. Ah, you're a mayor person? Come on. This is a super duper duper Rove. Come on. That's a joke. What are you afraid of? No? Come on. What are you afraid of, Jerry? What are you afraid of? Maybe. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe it'll be Mezuyev. A guy's going to tie to Mezuyev. Yeah, come on. Mezuyev. No, what's the din? Come on. That was the Shmoppa. Mezuyev, we're afraid there's going to be Mezuyev, Tanish Mezuyev, we're going to have a problem in a Torah. Come on, that's a farce. We're never going to have a problem in a Torah. You know why? Because Eid Bechsel was Tanash, we're going to do space in the number, right? That's not a problem. Aye, but according to who? Come on, I'm just walking you through. According to Rabbeinu Avigdor, what did Rabbeinu Avigdor say? That's only true. Kolzman, there's no Titus Mezuyev. But Kolzman, there is a Titus Mezuyev. It becomes a deraisa, sticker problem. So isn't this a potential deraisa? Why are we so easy, so lenient? What's the answer? What did the Sifa say? Even Rabbeinu Avigdor, this is the beginning. Even Rabbeinu Avigdor agrees that Bamed Bar Mamur is Titus Mezuyev. That's when. Do we just notice? When is Titus Mezuyev deraisa? Says Rabbeinu Avigdor. That's when. Kolzman that. No. Rabbeinu Avigdor says, so we should be afraid that Titus is going to be advanced. The Gemara says the Baal is going to come later. So Rabbeinu Avigdor agrees that if the Titus Mezuyev is advanced after what? After the get is already what? It's already processed amazing. Once the get is ready in this Kabbal, the Shtar is ready in this Kabbal, even Rabbeinu Avigdor agrees you can't have Titus Mezuyev to rise. Didn't we talk about this? This is the whole Suya, okay? So I just chazed a little bit for that table. Bottom line is, there's no deraisa no matter where you turn. This is not Torah law. This is rabbinic law. By deraisas, we get very, very, very nervous. By drabbanans, a little look the other way. I told them the story about the star of Velazhin. Come on, you never heard about this two star of Velazhin? Never heard about that. Velazhin, a lot of the boys didn't go home for Pesach because Velazhin was in the mamash of nowhere. To get home from the lodging, to get a week to get home, a time to get home, a time to go back already. So a lot of the boys didn't even go home for Ben Azmana. That's, by the way, the reason why we have Ben Azmana. Everyone wonder why the yeshivas, they have Ben Azmana for like a month. If Rosh Chodesh Nisan, why is there such a long vacation? It's a throwback from Europe. And in Europe, the Pasha needed a week and a half to get home. Now the guys are home in 12 hours, in the first flight out.
So why use being a soccer?
That's right. We're going back to the old days.
Right.
The Gemara says in Pesachim that Rabbi Akiva would send the Talmidim home on Erev Pesach. He would tell the Talmidim Erev Pesach in the afternoon they should go home and give their kids a nap. They should be up for the Seder. So you see from the Gemara that Ben Azmanim didn't start until Yom Tov itself. We're like the old days. We're like Talmidim Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Rabbi Akiva learned in May and June and July and August and January. We have a Tashlum for Ben Azman. So in Kolozhin, you wouldn't be less than that, right?
Huh?
Why you wouldn't be less than that?
Yeah.
That's okay. It's hard to forget. So in Balazhin, sometimes the Bachar, a lot of the Bachar would stay in Yeshiva. So they would have starim in the Yeshiva, you know, by the Rashivas, by the Rebbeim, they would have starim for the Bachar. So the Netziv was known, he used to have a very, very famous Seder. The second night of Pesach, he would have that was known. All the Bachar would come, and the Netziv would say all the Netzivs on Dagad and all the Netzivs on Chumash and everything. He would say over all the Torah, and it used to be an unbelievable, memorable experience. So there was one Bachar who the first night of Yom Tov was invited to the Beis Halevi Seder. But there was a time in the Beis Halevi, Chaim's father, Netziv, of Korosh Yeshivas, the same time as Lashon for a short Kufa. Then Beis Halevi left, he went to Brisk, and then Reb Chaim married and his granddaughter came back, so they kept in the family. But there was a short kuf of time when they were yeshivas together. So this Bachar went to the Beis Halevi for the first night, the other, then he was invited to the Tzif for the second night. So they asked him afterwards to describe the differences between the two Siddurim. So he said that when the first night at the Beis Halevi, so they started very, 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 very late. Because when the Brisk is, you know, until it's Kechavim, it's very, very, very late. They started very, very late. And they had a very, very long Ma'adid. And then it was 20 minutes before Chatzos, so they cooked the gat to Maitzi Matzah, and the matzah was mommy burnt to a crisp, and then was given like 400 matzahs to eat, and within 30 seconds, you know, well, the chumras and everything, rush, and then it was 10 minutes before Chatzos, there was no time for the meal, so they said, forget the meal, they brought out the roti afikomen, and they ate another 10 matzahs, burnt to the crisp, and that was the stated by the Beis Halevi. He said the next day he went to the mitzvah. So of course the mitzvah started on time. Everyone was very relaxed. The mitzvah was telling them about the retirement, and they were singing, and they were there. It was a beautiful one. He gave everyone a nice, small, you know, decent size of matzah. Everyone ate from the land. Everyone was looking at the stopwatch. They had sang Hallel. They finished everything Kedasu Chedin. They had a beautiful meal. Everything was good. So this Bachar was trying to didn't understand. Like, he had Jewish shivas. What's the difference? So I was expecting, you don't understand. He said, it's very simple. He went to the Beis Halevi the first night, that was deraisa. He went to the second night, that was derabbanan. So deraisa, you get a little shaky, you get a little nervous. Is that derabbanan? That's probably not the correct answer to the discrepancy of the star, but that was that. So over here, we're very, very lenient. We come to Mfaynech Faynechdam. We have our feet up, a couple of poor feet in our hands. Like, come on, who needs chumras? All the cools in the world. So I would not have been totally shocked if somebody would have told me that Mfaynech Faynech, we know, they take stop. I wouldn't have thought that's crazy. So Tosh says that's not true. Tosh says there is no such a law. But guess what? What Tosh said is not true. The Ramban says it's not true. The Ramban Taka says it. The Ramban later on the test. So the Ramban asked the exact same Kashas Tosh. I put it in the memory covers. No. So the Ramban is the exact same Kashas Tosh. The Ramban says, Rav Yosef is searching the world upside down for a case of Eino Yochel Loimar. And the best he can come up with is a mashugana case of the shliach who lost everything in a split second. What do you like? Why did it say so much easier, so much simpler to crush the shliach? It makes so much more sense. So whereas Taisa said, yeah, you're right, I could have said it, but textually it doesn't fit. Ramban says, no. But Yosef didn't say, you know why? Because it ain't true. Because an Elaim can say before Necha, before Necha. I, Elaim, can't speak. You could write. Says Ramban, you could write. And how did Rabban know that to be true? Just because it's the Rabbanan, so everything goes. There's only Muqtani, there's only Bishwalacham anyway, so nothing matters. Another Rabban says, I have a precedent for that idea. I know for a fact that Chazal were very, very lenient vis-a-vis this din of Mipir Lopik Shavam, specifically concerning Eidus's the Rabban. I know for a fact that there's certain areas of Aloha that Chazal were very, very makil. And they did away with this requirement of Eidus Bal Peh. And they were sanctioned, they were Machshir and Eidus Bechsav. So the Rabbah makes reference to a Gemara in the Ayin Aleph. In the Sugya of Epiyom of Miksavim, what does the Gemara say? What's an example of an area of Halacha that we will accept written testimony? Who saw? Eidus what? What's the Gemara? What's the Gemara in the Ayin Aleph? Did I put the Gemara on the Marmar Kermis? Or the Ramban just quoted it. The Gemara says, "The Eidus Isha that Kiliber Rabbanon." Oh, did the Ramban quote the Gemara?
Yeah.
The Gemara says, "What's Eidus Isha? To be made that the husband died." Now, Meikar Adin, we should have required two Eidim to say that the husband died. That should have been the din. Apishtai made him up and brother. And yet, all of a sudden, we find the last 20 blad of Maseches Yevamos tell us that, no, Chazal said, one Eid is good enough. How'd that work? How's it happen? Eid is Isha, it's called. Hatter Eish Azish Ayyadei Nisabah. What happened to El? Apishtaim Eid? What happened to Eindav Shevach Zishnaim? So, we should have a lot of different interpretations as to how that phenomenon happened. What is responsible for that halacha? The Rambam has this famous beer, we spoke about this in the past. The Rambam writes that why is it that we look the other way and we got rid of all the requirements, all the regular din of Eidus, Mahat Isha, Shabbos Baila? What does the Rambam say? What's the famous words? It's a mil soa. Mil stavili glu. The last Rambam of Gerushin says that when does the Torah require Eidus? That's the things that are not easily going to become revealed. But here, imagine, an aide is going to walk to the Bezer and say that Reuven died, and then Tevet said, who's going to say, Baruch Abu Hurayab Tchis? So one of two choices, either Tchis and Mesim, just a guard, or the aide lied. So again, we believe Ebun Shlem is going to be Tchis and Mesim, but Lav Dafka, that it happened in the last 10 minutes. So therefore, the Rambam writes, Lo chiva ha-teira shnei eidim on a milsa vidlevluya. So min ha-teira, you don't really need eidim to say that the husband died. Bechlal, this is mufka for the whole parsha of Eidus. Or the Ravid, it's a different form. The Ravid, the Edivikos Gevushin says, that the reason why we're so lenient and we let you get away with it, Shvach Eidus, is because we have another biru up our sleeve. What's the other biru up our sleeve? What? How does that solve the problem in the Torah? We need a problem. We have to solve the problem in the Torah. We have a married woman for 20 years. She's been married. One aide walks to the base and says the husband died. And the bishop says, "Yevam, I'll go get married." Well, what happened? Apishtai made Yevam go. So the Rambam says, "No, Apishtai made Yevam go." It's never said in the Mishnah. The Rabbi says, "I'll give you a different reason." You only need Eidus when you have a latest Sofek. If you have another mechanism to revive the Sofek, so you know what you need this for. You have an unbelievable mechanism of virus of Sofek. You know what it's called? I have an unbelievable rove. There's a gewaldic rove that this aid is telling the truth. What's the rove? Isha Daiko Mitzvah. This woman will never in a million years get married until she has proven to herself and she knows the fact. She's going to interrogate the aide. She's going to go hire a detective. She's going to go check. She will never ever stand on the chuppah with somebody else until she is absolutely certain that her husband died. And that's enough for rov in a Torah. And therefore, we don't have to need aides altogether. Rashi and Shabbos is a third shot. Rashi and Shabbos says, how do we ever let a woman remarry? What happened to Indom Shebach's Mishnayim? Says Rashi, we taka don't. She's not married. She's been married for 20 years. She has a family. She has 5 kids. What's the answer? Mafkir Rabban the Kedushin. We go back in time 20 years ago and we just simply mafkir the Kedushin. We mafkir the Mom and Habal from 20 years ago. The Gloy Milson, they were never married. So different Mishnayim have different creative solutions as to how to go about getting around this problem. Everyone's got to come up with some kind of a creative solution to explain the last two Prachim and Masech Zivamos. When all the dust settles, Minat Torah, for one of the above reasons, we don't really need any aidus whatsoever. But Lamaisa mit Rabbanon, we still need an aidus. We need a chach something. Oh, it's only Rabbanon. It's only Rabbanon. Remember, we're very late. The second I pay, we're very lenient. Even what? Even an erechad. Even a woman. Even a goy sometimes. We're going to accept a lot of funny kinds of aiduses.
We accept writing also.
Oh, so comes the Gemara 9 Aleph and says, we accept writing also. So comes the Ramban and says that just as when it comes to this Eidus, Lahatir, Eishas Ish, Lama Beis, Baila, which the whole thing is a Kopsa, the Rabban and the Eidus, because Ben HaTorah, we don't really have any problem altogether for the above reasons. So just as we're so lenient, and we let you get away with the people himself, we let you write down, send the document. Imagine we have no way of knowing where the husband died, and we get a letter in the mail. A postcard in the mail saying that I was with Reuven and I saw that he died. So Beisdin reads the postcard. Shon, it's good. I give out Kishrigin as a Pim Lovik Savam. So the question is, you're right. It's a Pim Lovik Savam, and it's still okay because this is only Eidus Isha. Says the Raman, just as by Eidus Isha we are lenient to accept Eidus Bechsav, so too by Befarech Barnechta we should be lenient to accept Eidus Bechsav. That's the Gibeon from the Raman. That's the Brass of the Raman. So if I were to ask you, mark here, if I were to ask you, what mathematical symbol would be on the blackboard if I had these two things written down? I would have Eidus Lahatir, Eishas Ish, Loma Meis Baila, Eidus Isha, that's the phrase Eidus Isha means, Lahatir, Eishas Ish, Meis Baila. And I have on the other side of the blackboard, Amir Safar Necha Fai Nechtam. What mathematical symbol do you think Ramban would put between the two? An equal sign, right? If it's true for this, then it's true for this. That probably would have been sufficient, or possibly not. I'm not sure that equal sign would have been the best mathematical symbol to put on this blackboard. You know, it's very hard, once you enter into the realm of the world of the Rabbanans, it's very hard to know, are all the Rabbanans created equal? Just because we have kulas in one Rabbanan, we automatically have kulas in another Rabbanan. That is not always the case. Tosfos writes in the Sechah Shabbos, they throw their hands up in Shabbos, and they write, "Ein l'dama shusim d'rabbanim zeluzeh." That just because one particular issa chazawa mekel, it's a d'rabbanim, therefore makom hefsed v'matir, lav dafka the other one. Just because here v'matir they goy, does v'matir they goy. It's hard to tell. It's not so simple. So we're very weary to draw an equal sign between, well, the maker by one d'rabbanim, they probably make by another d'rabbanim.
To the Ramban, you make it by Rabban, you make it by things that have to do related to the Elbus Ishus. When it comes to the Elbus Ishus, be it by finding that or by
You know, again, you're right, Mr. Baum is correct that this is not like, you know, mixing a map and matching, you know, Bishalachim and Kriyas Hamigdal. You're right, these are closer to each other. They're in the same league, but they're not quite the same. Not just because someone's in the same league doesn't all mean it's identical. Right? Not everyone's the same, right? So the Rambam was probably sensitive to that problem, and he really, really wanted to sell us his shita. He doesn't want to go down the textual route of Tesis and to conclude that Elim is no good. He really believes that the only real reason why Rav Yosef didn't quote Elim is because Elim is not a kosher. So he does better than that. He draws a better symbol on the board than an equal sign. He draws a what? He draws a what? What's it called? It's the sideway carrot, right? Weinbach. It's kind of, we have the sideway carrot point in the right direction. Comes Rabbi and says, I'm going to prove to you my theory that we're going to be machshir a postcard saying before necha, before nechdom, just as we're machshir a postcard saying meis baila. I'll tell you what my proof is. Take these two dirim derabbanim, the two edius derabbanim. One is the sugya before nechdom, and one is the sugya meis baila. They're both terrible. This is derabbanim because with the robe of a Rabbi Kinnan. I end up raising it. It's Durabana for that reason. Makes battles Durabana, and I end Rambam's Ravids, Rashi, for its reasons. So we just span Yavamas and get together. Knocked off half a set of Noshe. Do we have any indication in which area we lower the standards a little bit more? Are we more Makel in one or the other? So the Ramban said, yeah, just have to get to the second parak. Initially, the end of the second parak gives it away, says the Ramban. A little bit of a background. Everyone saw the Ramban? The famous Chamesh Noshim. Who the Chamesh Noshim? So the Mishnah says at the end of the second parak of Gittin that just about everybody is believed to say, Mufay Necha, Mufay Necha. We're very, very lenient. It could be a man, it could be a woman, it could be a car. We are so, so, so lenient. Again, it's all Durban. Anyway, the sky's the limit. And a parallel Mishnah in Yevamos says the same thing about Edechem Bisabal. The sky's the limit. Almost the sky's the limit. We let everybody, we let the man, the woman, the car, everybody's good. But there's a nuance of difference. The nuance of difference are the Chamesh Noshim. Who are the famous Chamesh Noshim? Every once in a while, somebody comes into Beis Din and gives testimony about that's important for a woman X, let's say for Rachel. It's important for Rachel, either they're telling us that Rachel's husband died, or they're telling us that this get with Befaynech, which is going to enable Rachel to remarry. And the person who's stating that Eidus is someone who we know psychologically has it in for Rachel. We know, we're Mishai already, Psychology 101 has already taught us that the person who's coming into Beis Din with this piece of information, this testimony, is not from Rachel's best friends, to say the least. Who is she? Oh, he said, the Mishnah gives you a list of people. And the Mishnah talks about the famous, the Shviga, the mother-in-law, the Tsarasa, the co-wife, oh boy, the Yavimta, the potential sister-in-law who's plotting, who thinks that Yavamas is going to actually happen and she's going to end up being the co-wife. Bas Baila, Bas Chamaisa, all the women who are getting into all the inner fights and all the drama and the soap operas, so who hates who and who's going to do what to who. And the Mishnah says we have to be very, very weary right now. When we're very lenient, we have like the sky's the limit, but we let everybody come in and tell us stories about Bas Baila. Oh, wait a second. If the person who's coming in is someone who's got an in for this Rachel, she may be tempted to give false testimony. What's she going to gain by giving false testimony? She's doing Rachel a favor, right? She's telling her husband, she's telling her she's already married. Isn't that great? Not so great. If the husband's actually alive and this woman's pulling her leg, so she's got a hidden agenda. You know what the agenda is? Listen to this. I can't even give the name of Rachel Leg. It doesn't fit this week's parish. Hey, look at Emos. So we'll give it two other women. Not such nice people. Bashi and Zeresh, okay. Bashi and Zeresh. So Bashi's gonna come to Beis Din. She's gonna say, "Ooh, I'm so sorry. She's gonna come in from Korea, crying. Ay, what a terrible thing happened. Zeresh, I have to tell you that their husband died." But Vashti happens to be one of those women. She's the mother-in-law, she's the sister-in-law, she's the daughter-in-law, wherever she is. Vashti's going to come in. Ashti have a hidden agenda. Ooh, this is Ashti's hidden agenda. Ashti wants Zeresh to say, oh, I'm going to get remarried. Thank you so much, Ashti. So, you know, so kind of you, even though we don't have to get along. We've been fighting for the last 20 years. Thank you so much for telling me my husband died. And Zeresh goes ahead and gets married to somebody else. And then what happens? Mr. Zeresh, what's his name? Haman comes spazzering in. All right, here I am. Alive, hi, my Haman. He's alive and alive and well. Better than he was in the end of the Megillah. And he comes in and he shows up. And now, Gavalt. What's the din? What's the Mishnah Yevamos? The person who got married when the husband was still alive? Teitze Mizeh, Mizeh. We have Lad Mams in Mizeh, Mizeh. We smack her with everything. She's her life was just ruined. All due to who? Vashti. That's exactly what Vashti wanted to do. Got her way. So the Mishnah says, Yevamos, that Vashti's from the Chumash Nashim, she can't be believed. Okay, it's too risky, it's too dangerous. We don't. There's a serious reyus in Vashti's testimony. So yes, the sky's a limit, but even the sky has a limit to it. That Adkin Eliyos, not Vashti, not the Chumash Nashim. However, what if let's change the tune, change the Masechta. Let's go back to Masechta's Gittin for a second. Vashti walks into the basement with a get, saying, "I was appointed the shaliach." Somebody, I went to the Ranim Ne Ramachim. I was one of the horse riders, and I have this get. And I'm presenting this get to you. I'm the shliach lachas get, and refaynechem, and join. So now the Bezin and the psychologists are analyzing this one. Because the Bezin, the Rabbanim is saying, everyone's believed, right? Kol neman, we'll have you a get. The psychologists, what are they saying? Remember the soap opera of the Sechus Yevamos. We're going to run into the same problem that if we get, Vashti may be pulling out her legs because she's trying to get Zeresh into trouble. What does the Mishnah say? It's the door back. You know why? What?
She has
the get. She's the get. That's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, "Afadosh enamos lo vayis bina." Ma beget lebisa the tanoim. The Mishnah says, "Shaksav bechiach." She has a piece of paper, which has signatures on it. It's probably authentic. It is highly unlikely that this get is forged. And therefore, the odds that she's lying are so much less than the case of what she says, Beis Bala. Beis Bala, we have nothing else to go on. We have no physical evidence. We're going purely, solely on her word. And her word is flawed because she's from the Chabesh Nashim, she's a Sainazuazu. And therefore, the psychologists and the Rabbanim come to the conclusion that vis-a-vis Beis Bala, we cannot accept the Chabesh Nashim. Vis-a-vis Farinechta, we can't accept it. So therefore, says the Rabban, what do you see from here? That the standards of Eidos, the funny nechtav are actually lower than the standards for misabal. That's the proof of the Ramban. And how says the Ramban? Now we can draw a carrot going the right direction. Just as vis-a-vis the chamish nashim, we are more lenient legabe the funny nechtav than we are legabe misabal, because we have in our back pocket absam mechiyah b'shtal d'geres mechiyah. So too legabe the din of Mekabel Eitz with the Chetzav of sending to both guards. If we're making Lagabe Nisa Sabal, that's what the Gemara says, Meferish in Yer 9 Aleph, Kal Vachoyme, we're going to be making Lagabe before Nechtav. That's the Ramban's Raya. The Ramban had a Pekias throughout Mesechus Gittin, Mesechus Yevamos. He didn't just draw an equation, he drew a sideways carrot, and he proved beyond a shadow of a doubt, Kal Vachoyme. There are kavachomer, but didn't draw bottom also. It's hard for Tosis to negate that kavachomer. What does Tosis do with that kavachomer? How did Tosis say on the Bam and Aleph, in this 1.5 line basis, that an Elaim is possible to save a fine nechta? Why can't he write it? Tosis says, because you can't lower the standards. What do you mean you can't lower the standards? You lower the standards for Misabal. So, no, what do you mean? That's Misabal. This is different. Ein l'dam hazel l'zeh. Says Rambam, it's a kavachomer. We have on record from Chazal on the end of the second paragraph of Gittin that the standards are lower for Mephai Nechtav than for Misabal. How would Tosis respond to Rabban's time? Who here was bothered with this cash? Who here saw this Tosis? Who here saw the Ramban? Who saw the Ramban's Kavachayim and realized that Tosis is up the creek to against the Kavachayim? But Tosis didn't say Rabbi Shmuel this morning. They forgot about Kavachayim. Who here realized this cash? No? No one told about this kasha. It's the most obvious kasha in the sugya. Rabbi say, I don't mechilas kavod the heilig Ramban. I do not understand the Raya of the Ramban bechlal. I don't think Taisus even bothered to think about this kasher. They weren't even going to raise such a kasher. What did the Ramban just do? L'chora, the Ramban just... I can't even say it. I'm going to say it. It's going to sound the shtickle chutzpahdik, but the Ramban knows my heart and soul, so I just have to say it just to dramatize it. Ramban violated the Klal Gadol of Chasidus. What's the Klal Gadol of Chasidus? That not all psulei eidus are created equal. L'chora, the Ramban violated the Klal we spent so much time talking about last year at the end of the ninth parak of the Bava Basra. The very end of Parak Bishimeis tells us that there are fundamentally two different types of chesronos of chesedus. There are some chesronos of chesedus when we are doubting the truth of the story. We have reason to suspect that the story that we're hearing is not accurate. It's just not true. And then there are other chesronos of chesedus that have nothing to do with truth. They are simply procedural deficiencies. We really believe that the story happened, but we can't act on it because we just had some kind of a quirk, some kind of a glitch in procedure. I think, Mr. Alt, we have this concept, Lahavdil, secular law. Sometimes a case gets thrown out of court because of we don't think it's true anymore. And something gets thrown out on totally, completely irrelevant, so to speak, terms. Procedural. Who remembers the two examples in Chazal, the Anaper Bishameis? Two examples of Psuliedus. There's the Ganav and the siblings. A bank robber and a murderer walk at the basement together and it tells that Reuven broke Shimon's window. The Torah says, Al-Tashis Yachim Rosh L'Yosef Chomes. We cannot accept them. It makes a lot of sense why we can't accept them. You know why? There is a very good chance that bank robbers and murderers are not necessarily telling the truth. Their standards of morality and ethics are highly questionable. And their standards of honesty and integrity are up for question. And therefore, the Torah tells us, if you rob the bank, we can't take you. You killed somebody, we can't take you. Then you have another case. An hour later, a different Torah. Meishir Abeinu and Aaron HaKoyin. Can you imagine? Imagine this Torah. Imagine. I can't even say Meishir Abeinu is sitting on the Torah. 88 Nasadayin, so somebody else is sitting on the Torah. So Meishir Abeinu walks into Beis Din. Meishir Abeinu! The calm Navi be spoken to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen. They walk at the Beis Din and they give Eidus. You have to just close your eyes. The Kumsitz are dramatized what's going on here. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Reuven broke Shimon's window. And the Yom turned to Aaron and say, Aaron, what happened? Reuven broke Shimon's window. Does anybody in their craziest, wildest dreams think that Reuven didn't break Shimon's window? Of course, Reuven broke Shimon's window. Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron HaKohen, lie. They're brothers. Really. What do we say to Moshe Rabbeinu? What do we say to Aaron HaKohen? Shteik in the Hilgit Torah. La Yom Su Avos Avonim. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, taught us, you came back from our Sinai, that Pasuk means, so pray them. We open up a Chesh Mishpat Shulchan Aruch, and we say, sorry, we can't accept you. You think Moshe Rabbeinu go out, and Aaron HaKohen go out crying and saying, gee, the rabbis didn't trust us? Well, of course they trusted us. Procedural problem. So the Gemara's Pem Mole at the end of the Ninth Parak that there are fundamentally different flaws of Eidus. The fact that the Chumash Noshim cannot be made, even in cases that were very, very legit, we let everyone goes, Neirecha, a woman, a crave, everyone goes, and yet we put Atan, Chumash Noshim can't be made, for Misabal. I think that's a procedural problem. It's not a procedural problem, that's a what? That's a chashashachah problem. It means we really are afraid that the guy who was made for who? It doesn't matter. Either way, it goes either way. Chamesh Nashim Sada Suzu. If you don't like me, I don't like you. That's the way life usually works. So it comes, the Mishnah says, when there is a real concern of fear, a real fear of lying, the buck stops here. That fear of lying happens not to be so intense when it comes to the Fainecha Fainecha. Why? Even though it's true, in terms of hatred for one another and, you know, how one wants to do the other one, get the other into trouble, it's true. But there's something that's happening in this case that's unfolding that leads us to believe that probably truth will prevail. What is that? Haksab Echiach. So therefore, the Mishnah says when you're measuring, when you're using a baram, using a measuring rod to see, is there a concern of chashash sheki or is it not a concern of chashash sheki here? So then, it happens to be, just by fluke, that the existence of the ksav, of the get, is going to point us, it's going to lower the fear of sheker. In the case of Izabal, we're a 48% chance, and now it's only a 3% chance. Let's say that we're comfortable with that ground. That we're below our fear line. Now, let's move this over to Repi and Lofik Sonam. Why can't Reuben send in a postcard saying that he saw Shimon break Levi's window? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with the postcard? Exams the cost of appearing on himself. What's wrong with that? People lie when they send postcards? When you get a letter from camp that says everything's great, you're lying? Everything's great, please send money? Not lying. You know the phrase about something to write home about, I told you. Most people today don't know where that phrase comes from. It comes from camp. Nothing to write home about means nothing exciting happened. Every week in camp, right? You remember those days? You had a day, you went to sleepaway camp? No, Mr. Alton, you had a sleepaway camp? So you had to write every week, no? Yeah. They used to have those. Yeah, everything's the same, and you know, visiting day, don't forget me on visiting day, and then please bring more money. Okay? Cantina, our counts in the cantina alone. Sure. You think that when you get a picture postcard of somebody, it's a lie? A sheker? What does the Torah say? Tach, Gazra Chachmas HaBeris Baruch Shemai, Repiv Lo Biksavim. It's unbelievable. The aide is standing in front of Dayanim, and he's writing down a story in front of that. Lo Biksavim. What does that mean? Sheker? That's a procedural Zeres HaKos. That's Kvash of Yaron. V'shteit. When you're talking about procedural problems, that were more makil by the Farinechta, the Riyah, by Edis of Misabal. Maybe forget, maybe not. I have no idea. Maybe they're the same, maybe the other direction. Eimel Adam is Elazel. So it's really telling the Ramban. The Ramban is 100% right, is true, correct. In areas of Chashash Sheker, we're going to be more makil in one and the other, not because one is more lenient than the other, but simply because the Metzias Advarim is at Aksav Mechir. But how does the existence of Aksav Mechiyach impact when we're not even talking about Chashash Sheker issues? We're talking about procedural problems. So, Acharei Kichlei Sakol, we're back to square one. We don't know what the answer to this question is. Is Tosis right? Could be. Is Ramban right? Could be. I don't know. I'm not saying Ramban's wrong. I'm saying Ramban's Kavachoymer. Is the Chari not such a shtak Kavachoymer? So, let's do our own homework. Let's press. What do we think the din should be? So, forget the Rishayim for a second. What do we think the din should be? Do you think we have a right to be makil on the Fani Nechta by Nek Saviad? What do you think? So I'll tell you a secret. I don't think we should be talking about Masechet Gittin right now. Because the answer to this question probably doesn't even lie in Masechet Gittin. You know the answer to this question lies? What standards we're going to use to accept for Xaviyad? Rabbi said, in the world of Rava, what is the Farnecht of really, truthfully? What is it? It's a watered down lot. It's a watered down Kimshtos. That's why if you can't do it, or in Eretz Yisrael, Yishlev Iris, Kaim HaChayisov, it's basically Paul's rules of Kimshtos. So, close the market in, figuratively. Open up the second bracket of Ksuvis, where all the sugars of Kim, most of the sugars of Kimshtos appear. Can you do Kimshtos on your day, Xavier? Does that make any sense? Can you have a Kim Shtar today, Xavier? Yeah? That's another kind of a Kim Shtar. That's without, it's Kim Shtar without an Aedis. I'm talking about an Aedis of Kim Shtar. Normally, kibushtaros means I walk at the Beis Din and I say, I see the following document and I recognize that signature. That's my friend's signature. I recognize that's authentic. That's what Eidus and kibushtaros is. So what would it be as follows? What if I'm on vacation and I know there's a din Torah going on. I get a phone call that there's a din Torah going on. And I remember I saw this document last week. So I quickly sent the post. I say, dear plenty at the Yonah. I, Rabbi Solovsky, hereby testify that the document that I know is in question right now, I personally witnessed the signatures of that document last week. And I am perfectly comfortable saying that I recognize that signature that belongs to my my close friend, sits next to me in shul, and the sign at the bottom, Tzvi Blos. I send that in, another eight sends that in. Pishnah, can you do that? Can you? What? No, this is not Kiyum, this is Nadus. I'm giving you Nadus right now. I'm sending you Nadus right now. What do you think? L'chora, whatever the answer to that question is going to be the answer to getting awesome. So why are we spending time learning Gimish? We're learning Sukkos now. What is the time? What's the halacha? Can you be Mekayim Shtaris based on Exav? Do we have any Rais, any Gemaras about this topic? No Gemaras about this. But there is a Rivash about this. The Rivash goes out on a limb, Me'atzmai, and says, I think you can. There's Rivash that says in Tshuva, and I think it works. I'll tell you why. This is eerily familiar to the Ramban's kind of reasoning. Says Rivash, we know, we have documented from Chazal, that we are unbelievably makel in the Rabbi Kiyum Shtaros. We take a very, very lackadaisical approach to Kiyum Shtaros. So the Rabbanon, Shtaros talk for themselves, and Shtaros are made Reb Chaim, they're all brisket, says the Rivash. We know Shtaros are the best thing under the sun. Shtaros are one of the greatest things ever invented in the world. Aye, but Chazal made a takono that you have a tainus mezuyav. Yeah. Some days then got this idea, this wild idea in their head between Moshe Rabbeinu and the days of the Tanoim that maybe we should be chashish for mezuyav. Okay. But the same days they came up with this wild idea of mezuyav, they came up with a solution. What's the solution? Kiyum Shtaros. So Chazal was extremely making on Kiyum Shtaros. There are things that they accepted things that would never fly in a regular court of law. For example, says Rivash, I am the sukkah at the end of the second Baba Kama. Give you the 10th paragraph of Baba Kama. The Gemara says that normally there's a chayk v'layavah called Ein Mekamen Eidish Lo B'fnei Baldin. Who are Bevol of Loish Ben? You have to bring the Baldin into Beis Din. You can't have witnesses testify the absence of the Baldin. Says the Gemara, Mekamen Seshtar Shlo B'fnei Baldin. You don't need the Loiv. Let's say the Loiv is yelling and screams, Bezuyuf, Bezuyuf, Bezuyuf. Beis Din says, okay, we'll take a little bit of a recess. You go home, come back in a few hours. But the Loiv went to cool off a little bit. Two of them walk in and say, we know that this star is valid. Let's do Kiyum Shtaros right then and there. So the Beis Din says, but the Loiv is not here. So Kesa Gemara Baba Kama, no problem. No big deal. Mekamen Seshtar Shlo B'fnei Baldin. Why? We would never, ever in a million years accept Eidus Shlo B'fnei Baldin. What's the answer? Says Rivash. What's the answer, obviously? Yesh, man, the whole thing's Darabon anyway. Second night, Pesach. This is a joke. It's a big joke. But it's all Darabon anyway. What do we do? It's only Bishalach. It's only Kriya Sabgil. It's Tosidayim. Come on. This is not Chometz. This is not Tillin. Come on. Not real. It's Hanukkah, not Rosh Hashanah. Come on. So it's only Darabonon. So it's up to Rivash. You see that Chazal was so lenient in this area of Kiyum Shtaros that we let you get away with Rebbeim Lom Piksovim. I'm sorry. We let you get away with Shalom Fei Baldin. Mistoma, they would also let you get away with Piksovim. That's like an equation. That's not like a Kavachomer, right? That's like how we didn't like the Ramad at first, but the Rivash said it. And you know what? And when Sot, where's the Ramad comes? Isn't it Ramad? No, Ramad, I just made it up. No, where is it? Where does it say that? What? V'chol ha'id eid ezev yitach ksavim ve'enem tzich l'haid b'fiyem. It's a Rivash, it's a Mishim Pei Beis, Tafi Gimel. You don't need Eidus Be'al Peh. עד כאן. So Rabbi Sai, we have kind of supported the argument in effect in Ramban. We have reason to believe that the Fanedech of Fanechdom should be acceptable with Mipik Savim. Ramban thought it was he was really convinced. He even made himself a Kabachomer out of it. We got a little bit weird about the Kavachim. So forget the Kavachim. Just trust the Rivash. The Rivash is that. The Rivash and Talmud move up from Iran. The Rivash himself, he actually said it. Throw a paskin to the Halacha. It should be, never go, should be a done deal. Madach Kiyom Shtaros can be done with the Aksav. Before Nechem, it's just a grandiose Kiyom Shtaros. So what is the Bira Dov in Tosis? What does Tosis want from us? Why is Tosis so mocking? We seem to be pretty comfortable with Mishkaras, Farnech, Farnech, Matanit, the Rabbanon. We had a lot of kulas. But probably the evidence is totally in the direction of the Rabban Rivash that it should be okay. Some should be all right. What is Tzadik Chum responsible? So we pay the following. Tzadik agrees. That you could write down the words before Nechem, before Nechem. Tosfos had no qualms, no hesitations about that. Where does Tosfos say you can't write down before Nechem, before Nechem? What's the problem with Eli? I'm telling you, trust me, Munishlim, before Nechem, before Nechem can be written down. I have no reason to say otherwise. It's a Kabachem, it's a Mematzinu, it's a Kulas, it's Kiyom Shtaros, the Ramal said it, the Rivash said it, the Shechonov said it. I'm telling you, it's Emes Labitoy.
They can't say it.
Who?
Eli. Never was
it. The only person who can say
it. All of a sudden, a Maisa Lazai, listen to this one. That an Elaine is significantly worse than writing down before Nechem, before Nechem. All the Rayas of the Rivash and the Raman are all talking about people who could talk and choose to go on vacation and send us postcards. An Elaine can't talk if he wanted to. So therefore, an Elaine is significantly worse than someone who cannot talk. So just because the Rivash is right, and the Ramban is right, and the Gemaras are right, and the Dinam are right, that Bipiksavim is not a paisel by Mufay Nechdom. There is no Mokra in Shas out of anything that occurs in the other direction. All the Gedolim Shem except Tosfos are right. And Tosfos is still right. Tosfos never ever said that there's a psul of Bipiksavim, Mufay Nechdom. All they said was an Elaine can't. And for that matter, according to Tosfos, guess what? An Elaim can't be Mekayem Shtar either. Forget about Mufay Nechdom. If you want an Elaim to come and write a Ksav Yad to say that that he recognizes the signatures, we wouldn't accept that either. Elaim is worse. Oh, wait a second. This is reminiscent of something we spoke about much earlier this year. This is not the first time that we developed this idea. Elaim is worse. Who was the great Rishon who said Elaim is worse? Rabbeinu Tam said. In what context did Rabbeinu Tam say it? Rabbeinu Tam said, I believe, says Rabbeinu Tam, that Adam can send picture postcards. And Shomarim Mipir Rabbeinu Tam, that you're allowed to have Adis in the Bezim, Rabbeinu Tam, people would send postcards. They would send letters to Horst the Pony Express. They would send Adis Bechsah. So the re-quotes the name of his illustrious uncle, Rabbeinu Tam. So what do you do with the Gemara? The Gemara says, Pirul Bechsavim. So it says, Rabbeinu Tam, there are two cases the Chazal speak about Pirul Bechsavim. What are they? One is Gid and Aleph, one is in Ksuba Staff for Chof. In Gittin Daf Ayin Aleph, what's it talking about? A who? A what? An Elaim, someone who can't talk. What's it talk about in Ksubis, in the second barrack? A guy who can't tell the story. You know why? Because he doesn't remember the story. He doesn't remember the story. It says Rabbeinu Tam, you have to have the ability to speak, but not in reality actually speak. Rabbi Natan said, and you're going to ask me a kasha, Heichem Atzimu, what kind of wild halacha is that? I am a Seches Benochus, called Rabbi Bila Bila, I can't explain it to you. He spoke a lot about this with me. Is that what we're suggesting? That's what we're putting forth now? That's, we spent an hour in Shir to circle back to Rabbi Natan? That's what Tysus is presenting here? Rabbi Natan said, that's Yochet Shem Yechidim, nobody else like Rabbi Natan. All the other Rishonim said, Lo Hayud Vamiyam, Rashi Chumash said, Lo Hayud Vamiyam, the Ram Lo Hayud Vamiyam, nobody says a Krabbeinu Tam. How do you have Shtoros? Oh, come on, it's you pick Savom, what pick Savom, what's the Rabbana like the Ramam says, Shtekin, the Ramban, the Rashi, Kedaka, but you have a million reasons why. I am the Shurim from the past. Krabbeinu Tam was a Das Yochash Yechidim in the Sugya. Shulchan Aruch, we do not accept Krabbeinu Tam. That's what I'm trying to sell you after the whole hour and 10 minutes of Shir. Dr. Krabbeinu Tam. Comes the Kitzos, says as follows. We don't accept Rabbeinu Tam, but we do accept Rabbeinu Tam's fundamental wonders in the following sense. Rabbeinu Tam held that any and every time you want to write down Eidus, you only have to ask one question. Are you royal lekach? To write the Eidus or not, to say the Eidus or not. If you're royal lekach to say the Eidus, then there's no problem. According to Rabbeinu Tam, there was one psul called Eleg slash Enozocha, dead Eidus, whatever it is. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the only test you have to pass is, are you royal lekach? That's all. If you get 100 of that, you're good to go in the Bechina. You can write your Eidus as much as you want. We fundamentally, wholeheartedly disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. We say there are two problems as it says. First and foremost, you have to say your Eidus. You must speak your Eidus. That's Chayvul Yav. You have to speak your Eidus. That's how we learn Taich in the Pasuk, Apishtaimedim, Lo Tiksov. Unlike Rabbeinu Tam, who said that Tzeres HaKos was talking about Royal Lekach, that's Lohid Vamilim. Eidus must be said. Says the Ketzos. In addition to the halacha, not in place of, not the substitute for, but in addition to the halacha, that you have to say your Eidus, someone who cannot say his Eidus, someone who's not royal lekach to be made, is possible for a different reason. Not only is he possible because he can't say his Eidus, and therefore we can't fulfill our pishtah Eidim, he's possible for another reason. You know what the reason is? There's a psul haguf in Uchas Eidus called, catch this one, someone who can't say his Eidus. It's not just the chisorn in the Haggadah's Eidus Shavoy. It's not just the din that the Eidus is Apostle Eidus. Eres given Apostle Eid. He's like a Korob, he's like a Rosh, he's like a Goy, like an Evikraimi, like a Kotun, Kenisha. There's a psul haguf called Misha in a Rola Haggid. So, says the Ktzais, it is a grandiose breakthrough, and Simon involved this entire circuit. The Ktzais Mamish created a whole Yeshviyah now. He said, we thought we were non-Rabbeinu Tam people, so we thought that chiluk of someone who can't talk, we thought that was an irrelevant chiluk. It's not irrelevant, says the Ktzais. It's very relevant. It's part two of the saga of a people of Miksav. There's one basic din of people of Miksav, that's a din for the Eidus. I've got this Eidus, that's the people of Miksav. And then there's another din that the Gavra has to be a Gavra HaRoy LeKach LeHagid. Therefore, says the Ketzos, even if you have certain kinds of Eiduses that were willing to forego din number one, be P'yavon P'yksovom, we're going to let you, because it's their abundance, so we're going to play with the game, we're going to play a little bit with the rules. Kim Shtaros. We play with a lot of rules in Kim Shtaros. One of the halachas that governs Eidus is you have to have Eidus before Baal Din. Well, guess what? The Gemara Baba Kama said, Makim Shtaros, you don't need. Kumta Ravashan says, good. So we're willing to play with the dinim, all these technical dinim that govern us Eidus, Machavech Makim Shtaros. But if you're an Elaim, you are subject to the second rule, the second din. That's the Psul Aguf. The Psul Aguf are not going to budge on. Psul Aguf are going to stay firm and strong. And even when it comes to Kiyum Shtaros, a Psul Aguf is possible. A kar is possible, an ish is possible, a katan is possible, a goy is possible, a kanai is possible. So too an elim is possible. So we're going to split hairs, says the Ketzeis, that if you have two kosher edim who can speak, but they happen not to be here, they can send picture postcards saying they recognize the signatures. That's good. The Rav Asher's divin is right. But the Rabbanim were very, very naked. But to let an elim do it, that's out of the question. Says the Ketzeis, Bedas HaTosfos, if a guy walks in the Beis Din and he says, I'm very flustered, I'm afraid to say if I nechta my havaraz not so right. I don't want people to be embarrassed by my Hebrew. You know, so let me just write it down in front of the Beis Din. But no problem. No problem. Give the get right down before nechta, before nechta. Come on, the get's good, good to go. Says the Tzoyis, Tzoyis never said it's a problem. Tzoyis said Elam is a problem, because the Elam is subject to the Tzolaguf. Tzolaguf are not going to budge. What do you think Tzoyis just did? Tzoyis took Rabbeinu Tam that we thought was long rejected by Rabbi Yishayim and said yes, it was rejected by Rabbi Yishayim, because Rabbeinu Tam said only the second did exist, not the first. It says the Ketzeis, all the other Yishayim disagreed with Rabbeinu Tam. It's not that they held the second did doesn't exist, they also agreed the second did exist, they just held also that the first did also exists. So what's the significance of the second did if and when the first din breaks down and you don't need it, such as Bekim Shtaros, the second din is going to come back to life? So quite a Bira Dova. So there are a lot of loose threads in this Ketzeis, because when you have two dinim, then you have to have two sources, two bekeiros. What's the source for the first din? What's in Chumash? Apishna made him the source for the second din. Fishtek is a psalm. Fishtek, according to Rabbeinu Tam, who says there is no din, the first din that doesn't exist, so the pasuk, there's a pasuk to teach me the second din. But according to all the other Bishayim, Rashi, Rambam, and the Tesis, and all the other Bishayim who say the first din exists, and that is what the Pasuk of Pilo Ksachim teaches us. So where did this phantom second din come from? Which Pasuk? Vishtet in Tosh Mechsav such a din? Sapsu Aguf? Vishtet Azoy? We have a lot of work cut out for us. That's question number one. Question number two is, what's the significance of the second din? When the first din breaks down? Good morning, the first din broke down by Dinim Durabbanan, because we give a cheap answer that, by Kim Shtar, it's only Durabbanan, the first din is black. But the Ktsos is trying to sell us that there's a second din on the level of what? Deraisa. Mahanim on the din Deraisa. What do I need a second din on the level of Deraisa? If the first din covers everything. According to Rebbeinu Tam, there is no first din, so I need a second din. According to the Tzaisa's breakthrough, this Tzaisa, there's a second din in Deraisa called the Psul HaGuf. Mahanim, what do I need it for? Every Psul HaGuf is covered by the inability. Lamaisa, I didn't say the words. If I'm Psul HaGuf, it means I didn't say it. What the nafkamina is the Gabi Kim Shtaros. The Meshavani gave us a dint the Gabi Kim Shtaros. Kim Shtaros doesn't exist in the Torah. So it tells us a lot of explaining to this for us. What is the significance of the second din on the level of Deraisa? What is the source for the second din on the level of Deraisa? It happens to be cute and interesting that it happens to solve the dilemma that it doesn't put Tosa at odds with the Rivash. It puts Tosa on the same team as all the other Shem, the Shukhanach, the Rabbah, and everybody else who says that Kim Shtaros can be done with the second Saf. And Elam is still possible. You can have a cake and eat it. Tachik Savya or the Elam Nisht. So it's nice and it's cute and it helps, it solves that dilemma, but the dilemmas that it created are much more profound. Where does it come from and what's the significance? What does it all mean on a level of the Raisa? We have a lot of work to do, but this is the Ketzeis, it's big, 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 big. So you'll finish up tomorrow. We have to put some of the final questions on this Ketzeis. Okay.